Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We are glad you're here. If at any time you'd like to get the chance to know more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, please feel free to sign the Let's Get Acquainted cards. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you, and you can place those cards in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Members and visitors can leave prayer requests this way too. At this time, I'd encourage everyone to sign the friendship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign those and pass them to your neighbor, especially so you can greet any new faces by name during the piece or after worship. I call your attention to the inside cover of your bulletin. We have announcements of upcoming events there, and there's just one I'd like to highlight this morning, which is immediately following worship will be the first of two congregational meetings. The next one will be following worship next week. And that's to go through the process of nominating and electing our elder nominating committee. I say that every year. It never stops to sounding Presbyterian to me. We will elect a committee to elect a committee. So later in worship, at the end of worship, ushers will come up and down the aisles with ballots. You are encouraged to think of one male member of the church, one female member of the church, to put as nominations, and the top vote getters will appear on a slate of candidates next week. So please do stand to stay a couple of extra minutes. And then I'll go ahead and announce, following the congregational meeting, if you've made it this far, you can stay for lunch, and we'd welcome all to remain upstairs in the fellowship hall for our second Sunday lunch. Now I'd open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Yes, Alice. Thanks, Allison. Please feel free to sign up. The sign-up sheets will be out on the table in the commons. Are there any other announcements? And let us worship God, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive
to the voice of my supplication.
If you, O Lord, should mark my iniquities.
Lord, hear my prayer.
But there is forgiveness with you.
So that you may be with you.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. Let us pray. God of life, we gather as a people ready to meet you. We want to hear stories of your abundant grace. We want to join in the work of your kingdom. We want to walk in the way you have set before us. We know that we can only do these things with your help, and so we ask that your Spirit would ignite our worship. Give us hearts to pray, voices to sing, hands to help, and feet to follow. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are with us all along the way of our lives, which means you see us when we're not at our best. You know how we're selfish. You see how we hurt others. You understand the things in our hearts that we wish would go away but don't. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the words spoken in anger. Forgive us for the hand of help withheld. Forgive us the ways we treat your presence in our lives so lightly. Renew us, change us, guide us, lead us, in the way of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning. All right, can you sit down? Can we sit down? All right, let's sit on the floor. Come on down. Good to see you. Did some of you have a first week of school this past week? Who all went to school this week? Yeah, everyone have a good week? Is it nice? You know, one of the things that's hard about waking up early and having to go to school is you have to put on new clothes to wear.
You start
school this week, don't you? Okay. And so every morning we wake up and we have to pick out what you're going to wear. How do you pick out what you're going to wear? Does your mommy and daddy help you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you ever get to pick out what you wear to school?
My mom and dad
can help. They help you, yeah? Okay. Yeah, and maybe when you wake up and go to church, you've got to put on different clothes too. Is it ever sometimes hard for you to agree with your parents on what you want to wear? So, okay. Well, in a little bit, we're going to hear a story from a letter in the New Testament called Ephesians. Can you say Ephesians? And the person who wrote Ephesians said that being a Christian, coming to church, acting like Jesus is kind of like putting on clothes. You've got to pick out what you're going to do every morning. And so sometimes we have to pick out the right clothes and get rid of the wrong clothes. Because we can think of, maybe we don't wear swimsuits to school. And sometimes we dress up nicer when we go to church, right? We wear different clothes for different occasions. Will you sit down, please? We wear different clothes for different occasions, and so that's just what it's like to come to church, and that's just what it's like to follow Jesus. Sometimes we're supposed to look a certain way when we follow Jesus. How do you think that is? Are we supposed to be kind to people? Are we supposed to help people, maybe? What are some other ways we can look like Jesus?
Sometimes one way or
cutting. Yeah? What do you think, Libba?
Thanks to people.
Yeah, say thank you. Be grateful. You guys are great at this. Can you think of any other ways? What are the ways we look like Jesus? What is it? Sometimes it's just sitting and listening and being at church together. That's one of the ways that God asks us to be like Jesus. We're here and we listen to God, and maybe we see our friends and we care for one another. That's what it means to look like Jesus. So maybe you can think about that next time you put on your clothes. You're putting on your clothes, but you're also putting on Jesus too. All right, can we have a prayer together before we dismiss? Let's put our hands together and close our eyes and sit still. Okay, you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your gifts and especially for Jesus. Help us to look like him in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hold still for just a second while we say goodbye. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here. Thanks.
Thank you.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The title for the sermon you see in the bulletin today is Offensive Christians. What seemed like a good idea on Monday was not such a good idea by Thursday, and so now the title is How to Dress for Church. As you heard me tell the children before, that image of dressing is an important one in the letter of to the church in Ephesus. It is used over and over again, and here we'll hear that again. The writer of the letter, most think Paul, says you need to put away things like you put away clothing. So listen from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, speak to us again. Give us your grace and teach us who we are called to be as we follow in the way of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. There are times when you wish your children came with an instruction manual. And there are plenty of books about parenting out there, but I mean something more directive and thorough. This has been on my mind a lot this weekend as I've had childcare duty. Here's what the manual would sound like. New school anxiety, turn to page 42. Potty training, page 5. Smart aleck talk, page 87. Maybe the instructions would be as simple as feeding. It's like plugging in your child. Or telling them to go to bed, rebooting. One page of the manual I would particularly appreciate right now is the page on how to dress your child. Not dress in the sense of picking out their clothes, that's the easy part. But by dress, I mean the actual practice of getting your child into those clothes. That's a lot more difficult. I imagine the instructions would go something like this. Step 1, apprehend the child. This may seem obvious at first, but it's the most important step in the entire process. The child must be held and carried to her room. Tip for pros, have you tried hiding behind the couch? Step 2, remove whatever costume your child is wearing at the time. This may seem obvious too, but you can tell your child that no one else at church will be wearing a princess dress and an Iron Man mask. Or you can remove the clothing from the child before she's able to protest. Step 3, put new clothes on the child before she is able to see them and offer an alternative. It is critically important if the child is opinionated. Magnifying glass or electron microscope are both helpful for tiny buttons. Step 4, distract the child with something non-clothing related. Tell me which are better, horses or puppies? If you are successful, congratulate yourself on a job well done. The process should take no more than 20 to 25 minutes. This is the world I live in right now as a young parent. Maybe you've seen something like this done before, done it recently, done it a long time ago. Maybe you even remember this kind of thing from the perspective of a child. It's amazing how soon that sense of preference begins to form. I like this. I do not like this. And when you're young and everything seems critically important, something like battling over what you're going to wear, it's not just an inconvenience for parents, but it's an assertion of a child's identity. Your clothes reflect who you are, at least the choices you want to make. This isn't to say you are what you wear. As people who follow Jesus, of course, we know we're much more than that. But this idea of wearing your identity like clothes is exactly the image Ephesians uses for our life in Christ. The Ephesians is a helpful letter in the New Testament. It's full of advice to churches in the ancient world about the concrete stuff, about how to live a Christian life in community with others. Basically, it's an instruction manual for the early church. And in our reading this morning, the writer, tradition says Paul, has some advice. He tells his readers to put away those things that had to do with their former lives before they were in the church, before they knew Jesus. They're supposed to put away falsehood, anger, stealing, evil talk, bitterness, wrath, wrangling, slander, malice. And the phrase putting away in Greek suggests that this process has a lot to do with taking off clothes that are wrong for the occasion. Like, once you're in church, you're not going to wear your anger or your slander or your falsehood into the building. And just like you're not going to wear a get-her-done t-shirt or white shoes after Labor Day. We just know that's not how we're going to dress. And so if being a Christian means resembling Jesus, putting away the things that make us less like him, that's what we do. It's all the stuff Paul includes in his list. We put that away. So far it sounds easy, right? Maybe it is. Maybe we understand all too well what God asks us to do when we come here and live this life. And it's not just that we know how God intends us to be. God intends us to be like Jesus. Elsewhere, Paul says, clothed with Christ. It's the doing of the life that's the hard part. The actual act of putting away that Paul tells us to do. And sometimes we do everything we can to show our individuality, even our separation from God. We can be just like children, running away from a loving parent, refusing to wear the grace God intends for us. We all struggle against that grace. It's part of what it means to be fallible, limited human beings. We do things that we know are wrong sometimes, but maybe they're just things that are hard to shake. Sometimes our flaws feel like they're as much a part of us as any God-promised grace. It's just hard to put that away. It's hard to put away disappointment when things don't go the way they should in life, whether it's with family, friends, a job. Things that maybe once seemed like God-given gifts have turned sour, and it's hard to put that away when you come to a place like this. It's hard to put away selfishness. We're wired to be selfish. We want to be happy and healthy, and those things are good, but maybe also we can make decisions that benefit ourselves without understanding how we're affecting the people around us. It's hard to put away our need to be in control. We're successful in life when we take hold of things and act with initiative. We want to control the chaos around us at work, at school, with children, with aging parents. We plan and schedule our lives to create the illusion of control. And even when we're not in control of our lives, when we're sick or going through a major transition, we have that same expectation, and that lack of control just frustrates us all the more. It's hard to let go of that. We have all these things that we wear so much that it's almost impossible to think of putting them away. And that's the challenge here. That's what God asks us to do. Put away the things that separate you from God so that you can put on something better. The church in Ephesus had a few pressing issues, although the main one here seems to be anger. Paul asks the people of the church to put away their anger. People don't get angry at church, right? That was a joke. You got that. So how many different words for anger does Paul use here? Five? Maybe the people at church didn't disagree well. They said hurtful things. This is a church of all places, the one people where people should have been kind to each other. This place was riven with conflict. And we don't even know what the conflict was. And that should tell you how important it was in the grand scheme of things. We just know that people in Paul's day went to church dressed in their anger. And Paul wanted them to put that mess away. So the obvious thing that Paul says to counteract this problem is he tells the people to love each other. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us. And that's how you put away anger. You become kind. You love one another. And that's how Paul concludes his argument. It makes intuitive sense. You can't be that angry with someone, or at least not destructively angry, when you're also being kind and loving. That's the specific issue Paul addresses. But maybe that's not what we're being called to put away. The more important is the advice that Paul has for us on those things that we need to put away but can't. Those things that keep us from God. At the beginning of his list, Paul makes a more general comparison. He doesn't just want his readers to be kind. He wants them to tell the truth. So then, putting away falsehood, let us all speak the truth of our neighbors. And it's funny, that word truth in just this place means the reality of your outward appearance. Literally, it means make visible. It has to do with what you're wearing. Paul wants us to wear the truth about us, the inward reality of who we are in our deepest selves, reflected to the world. That may be a scary thing, but what Paul means is the thing that's most true about you, the thing that the world most needs to see, the thing that you most need to be, is Jesus Christ, who you have put on in your baptism. Paul wants us to resemble Jesus in everything we do. And we obscure that picture of ourselves whenever we refuse to put away things like anger or anything else. We have to be honest about ourselves. We have to tell the truth. And so, what is the truth about us? The truth is, we want to be in control. We may not always be right, but we're close enough. So most of the time we think if God just gave us free rein and kept all the major problems away, we'd be in pretty good shape, right? And the problem is we're not in control all the time, and maybe we wouldn't be that good at things if we were. And that's the truth. That's why we need to put away our desire to be in control and put on Jesus. The truth is we're not always grateful. Sure, we appreciate the things in our lives, having our basic needs met. We have friends and families and relationships that make our lives worthwhile. But sometimes we take things for granted. And we don't always treat everyone in our lives like they're gifts from God. That's why we need to put away our ingratitude and put on the image of God. The truth is, we prefer to trust ourselves rather than trust in God. We aren't always sure about the presence of God, and so most of the time we're not in crisis, and it seems like the world works for us the way it should, and we wonder what need we have for a God who's really quite hands-off. That's the truth. And then when that changes, and we need help, that's when we need to be wearing the image of God. It's only by recognizing these things about ourselves that we can start to peel away the layers that keep us from God. It's like you're standing in front of a mirror, and you have to remove all the extra stuff until all of a sudden you're standing there wearing the image of God. And when you're wearing that, when you're wearing God's grace, when you're wearing the thing that's most true about yourself, your deepest self, it's much harder to put all the other stuff back on. This is why we confess our sins every week. It's so that we can tell the truth about ourselves, trusting that over time God is removing those things in our hearts that keep us from showing our resemblance to Jesus. This is why we go to church in the presence of other people. We need to see the grace of God reflected through the lives of others so that we can learn what it looks like and learn how to wear it ourselves. And that's all God wants from us, to become the person God created us to be. We may refuse to put away the things that keep us from it, but God is patient and kind and tender-hearted and loving, all the things we are called to be too. God is like a parent who will chase after us wherever we go and will pick us up when we fall and will make sure we put on the right thing to wear. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. It In gratitude and in thanks, let us return our gifts to God. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we don't always know why we do the things that we do. Sometimes we wonder what difference we can make measured against the world's endless need. Sometimes we wonder why it matters to throw a few coins in the offering plate. But we give to you today, trusting that in your hands our gifts might spread and grow and become food to a hungry world. Even if we don't see it, give us faith to believe and a joy in our opportunities to give. Lord, in your mercy. God, at the beginning of a new season, we pray for our church in a time of change. We pray for those you are preparing for leadership on our nominating committee, and ask that you speak to those who are being led to help. We pray for our vision team as they listen for your calling in imagining the church you would have us be. And we pray for elders, those who are preparing to lead, those who are active and working, and those who are completing tasks and finishing the things you have set before them. Bless their work, the work of your church, and teach each one of us the ways that we are called to join in. Lord, in your mercy. At the beginning of a new season, Lord, we pray for those who are going through seasons of change in their own lives. For students returning to school a year older, we ask your blessing on them. For parents of young children as they begin school, for parents of youth who they continue to nurture, but who are learning how to care for their children they love, who are growing up so quickly. We pray for parents of children who are leaving home or who have left home or are learning what it means to be a parent all over again. We pray for other transitions too, particularly ones we would rather not have, for those who are sick, those who care for them. We pray for those who have challenges and struggles that will not go away. We pray for those who are entering new seasons in relationships, or without people who are once so close, and pray that you would be a steady presence in the midst of uncertainty and change. And we ask your help for those silent prayers that only we know. Lord, in your mercy. God, in this new season, give us hope that even in the midst of change, good and bad, we would see your guiding and directing hand leading us, picking us up when we fall, and if need be, carrying us. We put our lives into your loving hands, trusting that you are leading us deeper into your love along the way of faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. For we pray in his name in the way he teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
There will be a brief postlude following the benediction and the closing response. We invite you to step out if you need to, but would like to remind members to stay for a congregational meeting for our elder nominating process. So whether you go putting away the things that keep you from God and put on Christ Jesus, wear him into the world, and they'll know you are Christians by your love. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.